May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in the sight of God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Reverend Dr. Anthony Dunavant had the great misfortune to be responsible for trying to teach me church history when I was in seminary. Tony was at that time new in his position as professor of church history at Lexington Theological Seminary and was creating a curriculum to attempt to instill in the minds of seminarians like myself both an interest in and an understanding of the importance of what had gone before us. Part of that process involved written tests in which we, as the students, were to demonstrate our understanding of the subject matter, or sometimes our lack thereof. Those tests included a variety of formats of questions. In Tony's class, there would often be multiple choice questions, some essay questions of a long format, some three sentences or so. There were some true-false questions, and there was a category of questions which were entitled three-point identifier questions. Those three-point identifier questions would provide a topic, for instance, the name of a place, or a date, or a person's name. And our task as scholars of the church's grand and glorious history was to provide 3 points of information about the suggested topic. On the day that our first round of said written tests were being returned to us in class, Dr. Dunavant made the following announcement. In the future, when answering 3-point identifier test questions, the response, religious dead guy, will not be counted as correct, even if those three qualities apply to the person in question. Religious dead guy. I had not supplied that answer, though upon hearing it, I wished that I had. Apparently, whoever provided that through that first test got credit for it, but in subsequent tests, it was no longer permissible. Religious dead guy. Sometimes we think that that's what All Saints is about, but if we leave it there, we'll miss several points about the observance of All Saints. For instance, you don't have to be dead to be a saint. That's small s, saint. And while it is true that in order to be canonized, that is the process by which the Roman Catholic Church officially recognizes a person as a saint, that's capital S, in order to be canonized, you do have to be dead. Our All Saints observance is concerned with, as I explained to our youth and young people, all the saints. Our observance of All Saints commemorates all Christian people of every time and place. It reminds us that we are part of a stream of history. In New Testament usage, the term saints refers to Christians collectively, all of us. And that includes both the saints who have gone on before us, both those who have already been reunited with God and those who are still here with us, perhaps seated next to us this morning. Many of the saints that we called to mind as we lit and placed these candles this morning are people who are already in God's immediate presence, having preceded us in death. But there are also saints who we know or know of, who are still living. You can probably think of several saints that you've known through your life. You may know people who have blazed the trails that we now walk, or people who have stepped up to challenges and set an example. People who have done work that now benefits us. People whose shoulders we now stand on. I hope you can think of some of those people today. And our scripture lesson today tells us some of what those people, those saints among us, some of what those people did. They loved their enemies. They did good to those who hate them. They blessed those who cursed them. They prayed for those who abused them. That's what the scripture tells us. These saints lived out the scriptural ideal that while we as followers of Jesus may in fact be victimized from time to time, we are not to see ourselves as victims. We are not to have a victim mentality. That is a mentality that is shaped and determined by the hostilities that might be unleashed on us. Instead, as followers of Jesus, we are to take the initiative, responding not in kind or simply playing dead or excusing ourselves as victims. No, we are to take the initiative, and that means acting not according to principles learned from whoever has directed hostility toward us, but acting according to God's principles. Those principles of love, forgiveness, and generosity, the ones spelled out in our text this morning. We act according to God's principles of love, forgiveness, and generosity, not as some kind of a covert strategy for a soft kill later. Now, there is a scriptural reference to treating your enemies with kindness because in doing so you will heap burning coals on their heads. That's a satisfying one, but it doesn't jive with what we're looking at this morning. So we don't take that action as some kind of covert strategy. We take those actions of love and forgiveness and generosity because that is the way that we live out the life that we have learned from God. God who is kind even to the ungrateful and the selfish. We saw this kind of response lived out among us by some of our own just a few weeks ago at the Pride Festival. Some of our volunteer ambassadors who were at our booth were confronted by people who believe that our welcome to the LGBTQ community is counter-scriptural. These particular individuals expressed that belief in ways and using words that were filled with hostility, vitriol, and condemnation. Among the volunteer ambassadors who were subjected to this abuse were a mother and her two young daughters. I knew this would be trouble, even when I wrote it. One of those daughters, more so than the other, was surprised and upset and very visibly shaken by the vitriol and abuse that were spewed by these so-called religious people who had turned up to torment them at this event. And this mother, one of the saints, responding to her child after the incident, reminded her daughter that God loves her. But this mother didn't stop there. This mother, one of the saints, went on to remind her daughter that God also loves those angry, hostile people who had confronted them. God loves them. Just as God loves each of us. And while we can't make sense of that, it is in fact the truth. I am not at all sure that that would have been my first response had I been there. I'm not sure that I could have been that gracious and forgiving. but I am sure that that's what it looks like to live out our life as followers of Jesus. And so you and I, each of us, even though we might not have been able to respond that well, get to be part of a community that includes saints like that mother, saints who do know how to respond with blessing and love, even in the face of hostility and anger. Each of us get to be part of that same community, because together, here in this place, we have created a family of faith, a church family, one that has proven to be attractive to saints like that mother and to many others. Saints who model for us what our lives are supposed to look like. Saints who also look to us to help them as well. Saints who have devoted time and resources, lives and finances, talent and opportunity to the building up of God's reign here in this place and in this community and starting from here all the way to the ends of the earth. You know who those saints are. You are those saints. And together, we are that community. That community composed of saints, working out together how to be the people we are called to be. People who love and bless and pray. And while we don't have all the saints here among us, because as I explained earlier to our young people, the saints are everywhere. We don't have all the saints here among us, but everyone that we do have here among us is among the saints. And when we see saints around us here, it makes it easier to see those saints around us everywhere. Easier to recognize God in the faces of everyone we encounter. And recognizing God in those around us enables us to adopt the life of the saints, loving, doing good, blessing, and praying. We know those saints. We are those saints. Amen.